I'm going to pray before we read. Father, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Help us to understand what you want us to do and how we're to live in response to these words. Amen. John chapter 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learnt this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph was there. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself? As did also his sons and his flocks and herds." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't go thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right to say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages even now the harvest, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my son dies. Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on his way, his servants met him, and with news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This is the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee.
Thanks, Dave. What do you think is our greatest need? What's the one thing you think humanity needs most? Is it world peace? Is it a cure for AIDS? Is it an end to poverty? It's a hard question. What about Australia's biggest need? What does Australia need most? Do we need more money for local industry? Do we need to save the Great Barrier Reef? What do we need most? What about you? What do you need most right now? A day off maybe, more sleep, more confidence, more friends. Do you need to get fit? Do you need less distractions? What's your greatest need? Where this story starts that we've just read in John, Jesus needs a drink of water. He's been walking all day, it's hot, he's tired, and he arrives at a small town called Sychar in a district called Samaria. And there's a well there. In fact, it's a well that was dug by Jacob many years before. And it's the sixth hour of the day, the middle of the day, 12 o'clock, the hottest part of the day. And like most of us, Jesus didn't walk around carrying a bucket. So when a Samaritan woman arrives at the well, Jesus asks if she'll get him a drink. Jesus asks her to meet his need. But this woman has a far greater need herself. And what this woman needs, only Jesus can give her. Jesus needed a drink. Jesus asked her for water. But if she'd known what she needed, if she'd known Jesus was the only one who could give her what she needed, she would have asked Jesus for water. Have a look at John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself? Jesus might be the one who's thirsty, but he thinks that this woman is the one with the greater need. See, this woman, she's at the well in the middle of the day, the hottest part of the day, the time when you don't want to be walking around carrying buckets of water. And she's alone. Why is that? Why doesn't she get water in the morning or the evening when it's cool, when everybody else gets water? Well, this woman had a reputation. She had a bad reputation. I suspect she's here in the middle of the day so that she can avoid the judgmental stares, the whispers behind her back. Maybe she's even here in the middle of the day so she can avoid the mocking and the taunting, because this woman has a reputation for sleeping around. She's easy. She can't keep her legs together. Have a look what Jesus says in verse 16. Jesus says, go call your husband and come back. She says, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husbands. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have isn't your husband. What you've just said is quite true. Maybe this woman is at the well in the middle of the day because she's avoiding people. Maybe she's there because when the other women are at the well, she's back in town having an affair with one of their husbands. Whatever the reason, it's pretty clear her life is a mess. She's looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. She thinks that she is only as worthwhile as her next relationship. Her problem is she's empty. No matter how much water she drinks from the well, she has to come back the next day for more. No matter how many men she jumps into bed with, she's not satisfied. This woman, I think, has the same problem that all of us have. It's the kind of problem that I'm painfully aware of when I go to fill up my car with petrol. Doesn't matter if I use the cheap stuff, doesn't matter if I use the premium stuff, doesn't matter if I fill the car right up to the top, still got to come back the next week and fork out another $80 to do it all again. See, we drink, but we still get thirsty. We eat, but we still get hungry. We make friends, but we're still lonely. We make money, but it's never enough. We buy things, but there's still ads on TV telling us all about the things we haven't got yet. We get married, but no one can love their husband or their wife perfectly. No matter how much we put in, it's just not enough. The world will say, if you get a promotion, if you pass your subjects, things will get better. If you eat organic, if you upgrade your iPhone, if you buy a new car, if you find someone to marry, then you'll be happy. People will say, if you've got your family and you've got your health, ultimately that's what matters. None of those things are bad, that's for sure, but Jesus says something radically different. Jesus says, more than you need any of those things, you need something the world cannot give. The world has told this woman from Samaria that there is satisfaction in men. Maybe there was for her in the short term, but it certainly didn't last. Jesus said to this woman, your greatest need is living water. Now, the woman says to Jesus, how are you going to get this living water? The well's deep, you haven't got a bucket. Jesus was just passing through. In fact, it was bizarre that Jesus was even passing through this town, Sychar. In verse 9 there, John tells us that Jews don't associate with Samaritans, and Sychar was in Samaria. The Jews hated Samaritans. There was a time in Israel's history, hundreds of years before Jesus, when Israel was invaded by foreigners. Assyria was one of the countries that invaded Israel, and Assyria, they had this tactic when they invaded countries. They'd take the people that they captured from all the lands that they'd conquered, and they'd mix them all up, and then they'd scatter them again throughout the lands that they conquered. This is what happened in Samaria. So the people of Samaria, the Samaritans, they believed in the same God as the rest of Israel, but they weren't pure Jews. They had all sorts of other nationalities mixed in their bloodlines. The Samaritans, they also built a temple in a place called Mount Gerizim. The Jews just hated the Samaritans. The Jews actually burnt down their temple at one point. And the Jews would generally go a long way out of their way to avoid traveling through Samaria. And yet here's Jesus, a Jew in Samaria, offering this woman a drink, offering her living water. But of course, Jesus is not literally talking about water. He's talking about a spiritual reality. He's talking about something that is much more significant than the water that's sitting there in the well as they speak. He's talking about something much more significant than the tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Samaritans thought that they could worship God on Mount Gerizim. The Jews thought you could only worship God in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus is talking about something much more significant. Jesus says, neither of those things is good enough. What we really need is to truly know God. We need the Spirit of God to live in us. We need to be able to worship God in a way that's acceptable to God. We need to be acceptable to God, which we can't do because we're sinful people. And sinful people are dying people. And that's why Jesus offers living water. Living water is our greatest need. The temple in Jerusalem, Jesus says, it's a great thing, but it's not enough. But Jesus is better than the temple. Jesus allows us to worship God in a way that's acceptable to God. Jesus is our connection to God who created the world. God who separated the land from the water in creation. God who brought life to life. A relationship with this God, that's living water. Have a look at verse 19. The woman said to Jesus, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Our greatest need isn't just water. Our greatest need isn't a certain breed of religion. Our greatest need is living water. Verse 25, the woman says, I know Christ is coming. I know God's chosen one is coming. Jesus says, that's me. Jesus gives us living water that wells up to eternal life. Jesus gives us what we need most. Jesus is our greatest need. There's nothing we need more than we need Jesus. We need our sin forgiven. We need our rebellion against God forgotten. We need Jesus' death in our place. We need Jesus to give us life. I don't know what you might think you need more than Jesus. Jesus says our greatest need is living water. I wonder, how's that going to shape this week for you? If you're anything like me, you're going to wake up tomorrow and your stomach will tell you that you need breakfast and you need it pretty quick. Your nose will tell you that before you need breakfast, you need to change your son's nappy. Your schedule will tell you that you need to achieve a certain number of things tomorrow. Now, if you believe your stomach, if you believe your nose, if you believe your schedule, you're not going to pick up your Bible and read. But Jesus says your greatest need is him. If your greatest need is Jesus, how is that going to change the way you think about church? How's it going to change the way you think about small group? How's it going to change the way you think about prayer, about talking to God? How's it going to change what you think about the idea of sitting down with someone and reading the Bible with them? Because we all need living water. Our friends, our family, our colleagues, our classmates, they need living water. Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. When they came back, they found Jesus talking, not only to a Samaritan, but to a woman, and alone with this woman, which is an awkward thing to do in that culture particularly. It's doubly awkward when the woman's got a reputation for sleeping around. And yet none of his disciples asked him what he was doing. None of them asked him why he was talking to her. I think if they had, they might have realized he was talking to her because she needed living water. The disciples were worried about their needs, their need for food. But Jesus says there's a greater need, and it's an urgent need. The whole town, in fact, needed living water. The disciples needed living water. They needed to know Jesus. Have a look at verse 35. In verse 35, Jesus' disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus said, you say it's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life. What those disciples didn't realize is that today, people need living water. Now's the time. No need to wait until harvest time. No need to wait till 4 months in the future. People are ready now. So the disciples, they went into town and they came back with food. Now the woman went into town. She brought the whole town out to meet Jesus. Have a look at verse 28. Verse 28 says, "Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way towards him." And skip down to verse 39. "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony." You deal with people every day who desperately need living water. Every day you interact with people who don't know Jesus. Some of them are your friends, some aren't. But the greatest need of each and every one of them is Jesus. Are you going to be like that woman from Samaria who told people about Jesus? Or are you going to be more like the disciples who were well and truly distracted by less important needs? Which is the greater need? Is it the need for people to drink living water? Or is it your need to be comfortable, your need to be liked, your need to be admired? That woman, she probably hardly had any friends, and yet she didn't hesitate to introduce people to Jesus. What will it mean for you to know that the greatest need of each and every one of us is living water? Will it mean dropping whatever you're doing and going to Zambia? Will it mean deliberately praying for people that you work with? Will it mean meeting up with someone one-to-one, someone in your small group maybe, to help them grow as one of Jesus' followers? Are you inviting people to see the one who can give them living water? Or are you leaving your friends thirsty and with no hope of satisfaction? I'm not for a moment suggesting that sharing Jesus is easy. It's not an easy thing to do. But it is simple. Finding living water is simply a matter of believing Jesus' words. Believing Jesus' words is where we find living water. It's where we find life. If you remember last week, we read about the Jews at the temple, and we read about that guy called Nicodemus, and we read about how they only believed in Jesus because they saw signs. They were keen to see something spectacular from Jesus, but they didn't want to listen to what he had to say. Compare those guys from last week with the royal official who we read about tonight. This royal official, his son was sick, and he begs Jesus to heal him. Have a look what Jesus says to the royal official in verse 48. In verse 48, Jesus says, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you'll never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word. This guy didn't need to see signs and wonders. He simply believed Jesus' word. And his son was healed. His son had life. There's life in Jesus' words. In fact, just before, we skipped over it, but in verse 41, after the Samaritan woman had told the whole town about Jesus, John says that it was because of Jesus' words that many more became believers. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Our greatest need is living water, and we find it in Jesus' words. We find water in wells and dams and creeks and rivers and oceans, but compared to Jesus, that's dead water. We find living water in the message of Jesus, the message that Jesus came to die to rescue us, the message that Jesus is God's one and only Son, sent by God to save us. The woman at the well in Samaria, she hardly knew Jesus. All she knew was that he was the one sent by God to save her. And that was enough. I don't ever think you don't know enough to share Jesus. Just like that woman, it's all about pointing people in the right direction so that they can hear Jesus' words for themselves. The woman from Samaria, I hope, is just like us. I hope, Night Church, that we're like her. She was looking for love in all the wrong places. She was going against God in the way she lived. And she was saved by the gift only Jesus can give. Not only that, she was a missionary. She was sharing the life-giving water with her parched community. Are we like her? I hope we are. Are you drinking water that will make you thirst again, or are you drinking living water from Jesus? Night Church, we want to grow. We want to help each other grow to maturity. We want to grow by sharing Jesus with people who don't know him yet. So hear these words of Jesus. Understand these words of Jesus. Speak these words of Jesus. "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now let's pray that we would be people who drink living water. God our Father, please help us. Like that woman from Samaria, help us to find real satisfaction in Jesus. Help us to give up trying to quench our thirst in things that won't last. Help us be like that official from Galilee who took you at your word and found your words to be life-giving words. God, please help us never to be so selfish as to keep the news of Jesus to ourselves. Please help us to bring living water to our community. Help us to reveal your King Jesus to our town. Amen.